At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
At the end of the day, it all comes down to whether Alec Murdaugh did this or not. And one of the most, I think, telling things in any case is taking a look at their first statements, their first words. What were they acting like immediately after the crime when people are trying to figure out what the heck is going on? And luckily, we do have that in this case. Alec Murdaugh, after the authorities arrived, after he called 911 and said that, my family's here dead in the backyard, in the dog kennel, the police came and he sat with them in the cruiser, answering questions. We're going to watch that video right now. We can pause it as we go through. But I would say take a look at this and watch it for the believability of Alec Murdaugh. Is he someone who's coming across as someone who's trying to spin a tale? Or is he someone who's in shock and grieving the death of his wife and his son? I mean, keep this in mind. The gruesomeness of seeing your son's head blown off, which is literally what happened here. I'm not trying to be gross, but we've all in recent weeks have seen a lot of gruesome shit.
Yep.
And has disturbed a lot of us. Now imagine that being your kid in the dog kennel in your backyard. And this is his reaction just moments after seeing that. Let's watch.
And sir, what was your name?
It's Danny Hendrisham. Okay.
All right. As I stated, I'm David Owen and Laura Rutland with Colleton County, and I'm with SLED. I hate to have to do this.
I understand. Yeah. I totally understand. Yeah. So you don't have any problem with it.
So just start at the top. Take your time.
Like when I came back here, I pulled up and I could see him. And, I knew something was bad. I ran out. I knew it was really bad. And boy over there, I could see. It was.
I'm so sorry.
And I could see. And I ran over to Maggie. Actually, I think I tried to turn Paul first. I tried to turn him over. And I don't know. I figured it out. And his phone popped out of his pocket. I started try to do something with it, thinking maybe, but then I put it back down really quickly. Then I went to my wife, and I could see.
Did you touch Maggie at all?
I did. I touched them both. I tried to take, I tried to do it as limited as possible, but I tried to take their pulse on both of them. And I called 911 pretty much right away, and she was very good. I talked to her. I told her I was going to get off the phone to call some family members. I did that.
What family members did you call him?
I called my brother Randy, and I called my brother John, and I tried to call a little boy, real good friend that's right around the corner from here, but I didn't get him.
What all was around Paul when he walked up?
Blood.
Any other, anything else?
There were some body things, yes, sir.
Like any other evidence? I know you said the phone fell out of the pocket, but did you see anything else that didn't belong or shouldn't belong or that wasn't part of Paul?
No, sir, not. No, sir.
How about Maggie?
No, sir.
You didn't see anything around them? What made you come out here tonight?
I went to, my mom's a late stage Alzheimer's patient. My dad's in the hospital. My mom gets anxious when she does. I went to check on them and Maggie. Maggie's a dog lover. She fools with the dogs. And I knew she'd gone to the kennel. I was at the house. I left the house and went to my mom's. For just a little while, tried to call her when I left, texted her, no response. When I got back to the house was obviously nobody was in there, so I figured they're still up here fooling around. Paul's gonna be getting set up to plant. Our sunflower seeds got sprayed and died, and he was refiguring to plant the sunflower seeds.
Okay.
So I came back up here and drove up and saw and called.
Had Maggie and Paul been arguing over anything?
No.
What was their relationship like?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. How about yours and Maggie's?
Wonderful. I'm sure we had little things here and there, but we had a wonderful marriage, wonderful relationship.
And yours and Paul's relationship?
As good as it could be.
How old was Paul?
22.
Okay. You know his date of birth?
I do. April 11th, 1996 is his brother's. April 14th, 1999 is Paul.
And how about, what's Maggie's full name?
Margaret Brandstetter Murdoch.
And her date of birth, sir?
September 15th, 1968.
Have y'all been having any problems out here? Trespassers,
none,
people breaking in.
None that I know of. The only thing that what comes to my mind is my son Paul was in a boat wreck a couple years ago. And there's been he was charged with being arrested for being the driver. There's been a lot of negative publicity about that. And there's been a lot of people online, just really vile stuff. But when Paul's out and about, people routinely, I don't think I know the full story, so I don't think they give it to me, but he's been punched and hit and just attacked a lot, so, nothing like this.
Yeah. Any one person in particular or group of people?
I don't know.
That you could think of?
Not that I know, no, sir.
Has he, other than being assaulted, has he received any direct threats related to the boat accident?
Oh, yes. All the time.
Recently?
Yes. He gets them all the time.
Okay.
He gets them all the time.
What kind of,
I'm gonna kick your ass, you know. I've never been privy firsthand, you know.
Is that through social media or?
No, ma'am. It's mostly like if he goes out places is what, you know, what he goes out like somewhere. He's in college, so if he goes out, is what I understand.
Uh-huh.
I can find out better details from some of his younger friends on that.
Who's his best friend?
His best friend in Colombia is Will's Chapman, Will Loving, Bobby Boyle. Bobby Boyle, Will Chapman, and Paul were getting ready to move into a house together in Colombia.
You said Will Chapman and Will Loving?
Will's with an S, Chapman, and Will with an L, Loving. Around here, his best friends are clearly Nolan Tootin and Rogan Gibson.
Tootin? Nolan Tootin?
Yes, sir.
And what was the other one? I'm sorry.
Rogan Gibson.
Have you talked with any of these guys tonight?
Talked with Nolan, yes, sir.
Is he out here?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I tried to call Rogan. Was one of the people that he's the boy that I told you lives around the corner. That's there. You know, he's just a good, helpful young man. Do you mind if I open the door?
Door. Do what you need to do. So is there anybody that you can think of that we need to talk to tonight? Is there a name that comes to mind?
I mean, I can't tell you anybody that I'm overly suspicious of off the top of my head.
Okay.
You know, I mean, this is such a stupid thing. I'm even embarrassed to say it. But it just didn't make any sense. I just hired a guy out here.
Uh-huh.
And he wasn't cutting the mustard, but I hadn't told him this yet. Paul's been working with him a lot. He killed the sunflower seeds in our dove field just recently, which is why Paul was here doing this. He told Paul a story the other day about how when he was in high school, he got in a fight with some black guys. And the FBI undercover team observed him fighting those guys and put him on an undercover team with three Navy SEALs. And that their job was to kill radical Black Panthers. And they did that from Myrtle Beach to Savannah. Now, I really don't think this guy, you know, is probably the person, but that's just so friggin'.
Yeah, that's kind of a far-fetched story.
But he was off today.
Okay.
He took his daddy to the doctor.
What's his name?
C.B. Rowe.
R-O-W-E?
Yeah, and I sent him a message to text me earlier today about the sunflowers, and he called me back when I was on the way to my mom's house.
Really? Did you talk to him at that time?
Briefly, I was on the phone with a lawyer friend of mine named Chris Wilson from Bamberg, so I told him I'd call him back tomorrow. See him in the morning.
When you briefly talked to Mr. Rowe, what was his demeanor or attitude or...
I mean, it seemed normal. I mean, I asked him about the sunflowers, and so, you know, I mean, he's a little bit.
Where does he live?
I don't exactly know. Somewhere in in Bronson.
Okay. Do you have his phone number?
I do.
You got it with you, or closer?
I do. You know, but I do think him and Paul got along pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
That's just really, really weird. All right, CB.
Right there. Well, that.
Here, Hunter, he called me, so I'll do the devs.
Well, 843-540-9335.
You need to get that phone a little charge here to your ATM.
Is that an iPhone?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to proceed with this?
Thank you.
When did you tell that story to Cole?
Sometime last week.
Okay.
Sometime last week. My son Paul actually, and I really do not think, in all honesty, that it's him, but I know y'all got to check it out. But Paul was so taken aback by it that he sent, I'll find it. I got it on my phone. He recorded him saying bits and pieces of it.
Okay.
But for all his weirdness, I mean, I do think they they got along pretty good.
And how long have they been working here?
I guess about 3 or 4 pay periods. So,
hey, a couple more. Okay.
Going back to the boat incident, anybody on that boat really have a hard on for Paul that you would think would come after him or know of any direct threats from people on the boats?
I don't know of any direct threats between any of the people on the boat specifically, but I do think there's been a small amount of yip-yap between a couple of them, but not recently.
Okay.
You know what, that yip-yap, let's pause
stuff
there for
from
a second.
People that Paul didn't really...
So this is post-seeing dead people, dead family members.
This is moments after seeing dead people, within the hour or so.
Contrast that to what we watched yesterday with Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Wendy didn't see any dead people.
No, correct. So what a stark difference. I mean, she sounded like she had a cold because she was so stuffed up. You know, she had that nasally sound to her because she'd been crying so hard. This man literally saw his family slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just talking like, yeah, you know, blah, 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 da, da, da. No big deal.
Supposedly he was still on his painkillers because he was addicted to those. Okay. Which certainly could cause personality disruptions. But there is a level of
effects that much.
There's a level of calm to this that
I feel like he, in his mind, is thinking of the best way to spin stuff. Mm-hmm. Like all those, that calmness is him taking the time to process whether or not he did it, what he saw, and who might be involved and how this was going to turn out for him and the police questions. I mean, I just see him sitting there spinning his wheels, coming up with answers.
Was it planned,
though? And thinking 20 steps ahead.
But if you're going to do something like this, you would think, doesn't mean he did, but you would think you'd have a plan for this alibi, the story, what you're going to tell people, and you're not going to be making it up in the police cruiser an hour after you did it, unless you did it like in the heat of the moment. It's a weird thing to do in the heat of the moment, to grab two different guns and shoot your family members in two different locations. That's a weird part to all of this. The guns are now missing.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialously. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialously with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialously with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, a.k.a. your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts. Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts. Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts. Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.